Welcome to Invest in Yourself, the Digital Entrepreneur Podcast. Join the podcast mogul Phil Better as he interviews successful entrepreneurs that make their living in the digital world. Now, let's join your host, Phil Better, and his special guest today on Invest in Yourself, the Digital Entrepreneur Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Invest in Yourself, the Digital Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm, of course, your host, Phil Better, the podcast mogul. And today, we have a truly inspiring guest whose journey and achievements will motivate you and educate entrepreneurs at all stages of their career. Our guest today is a powerhouse in the world of e-commerce. I love e-commerce because it's pretty much simple. Not only is she a multi six-figure Etsy seller, but she is also a dedicated military spouse and mom of two small boys. Her success on Etsy has been life-changing, setting her family on a path of building generational wealth by their early 30s. In 2022, she took her expertise to a new level by launching the Ultimate Etsy Course, which quickly gained popularity even before it becoming its official launch. Like, can you believe that? Before she launched it, it was already a hit. Within a year, the program enrolled over 1,500 students, driven by the authentic e-commerce strategies she developed during her time at Zappos and Zulies. The success of her students has fueled organic traction, created a vibrant community of over 68,000 YouTube subscribers, and of course, a top Etsy podcast. Let's go podcasting for the win, which is called Etsy Success with our guest. I'm not going to say her name, yeah. Which has amassed over 150,000 podcast downloads, which is an amazing accomplishment. She's probably already hit half a million already, I bet. So listeners, get ready to be inspired by her remarkable journey and the invaluable insight into the world of entrepreneurship that she brings. So it's with great pleasure I bring to the podcast, Dylan. Dylan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. That was a great intro.
Thank you. My audience knows, and I keep repeating this, but I love hype men for rap stars of the early 90s, how they hyped up the crowd. So that's what I look to do. Hype up the main guest, the main star, who is you. So Dylan, I want to thank you so much for being here, and I'm excited to talk to you about the Ultimate Etsy Course, how you got into entrepreneurship, all that, and what you're doing now, and about your podcast, of course. But first question, like always, is why? Why did you become an entrepreneur? What spurred you to be an Etsy entrepreneur?
Yes. So really, both of my parents were entrepreneurs. So my mom had her own dental practice. My dad had a fencing construction business. So they both did that for over 40 years. So I grew up with it. It wasn't weird or foreign to me. And I saw how lucrative it can be when you're your own boss. You know, we could still take vacations, you know, they kind of did the work thing, they could choose their hours. And, you know, it was really nice as a kid. And then I did get into corporate e-commerce out of college, because, you know, I was thinking, do I go get my MBA, or do I go get some experience? And I did think at the time experience would be a little bit more valuable. So I went and I worked for Zappos, and then worked at Zulily up in Seattle, and did that. But then I got married and I moved to San Diego. I had a really hard time finding a job. E-commerce is not as big down here as up in Seattle. And it was tough. So I was starting all these side hustles. Like, if I can just cover my expenses with like side hustles, like, okay, that's step one. And then one of them, I started taking my corporate background, applying what I knew from that to e-commerce, and it just took off. And I thought, I will never work for someone else again. I can make way more money working for myself. I can have my babies, you know, be there. And like, why would I do anything else? Yeah. So I was 26 at the time.
26 when you decided to go into the entrepreneurial world, be your own boss, buy back your time. How long was it until it didn't just cover expenses? It became like, oh, I can make my husband retire. Like, I can be the breadwinner of the house, and we don't have to worry if he loses his job, gets anything, like if he gets hurt, or like knocking on wood there, you know, like all the negative things that can happen in life because you got this new world.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. So he's military. He's been in almost 15 years. So they get this big retirement package if they hit 20 years, and it's about $2.5 million. 2 days ago, we just resigned and turned that down.
Wow.
Yeah, this is 2 days ago. Fresh. We haven't told. I don't know if he's told his parents yet. First.
Well, just to let the world know, this may be cut out. Well, I don't know if you want to let that out,
This is perfect.
it's
It's good.
perfect. Okay, great. And it's live. I forgot that it's not going to be cut out. Wow. Okay. So yeah. Wow. So that's insane. So just
Yeah.
2 days ago, you just
And
decided
yeah,
I
so
can.
he's, you know, he's 35, and now he gets to do what he wants, whether that's real estate investing or coming in with what we're doing now. Because we've gotten the business, you know, combined, we're doing eight figures per year. So why wouldn't we do it? It's
Yeah.
crazy to people who, you know, they're like, get to 20 years, get to 20 years. But this entrepreneurship will give you options. It will.
Wow. That's insane. I love just a huge reveal. I personally think that's amazing, and it's a great achievement, and a great answer to the question. Not expecting that answer. So with that revelation, like, let's go back to the beginning. Now you've decided, hey, this is paying my expenses. I know I have this huge you have this huge background working for corporate, and now you're taking that knowledge and putting it to use for you. You're taking a skill that you learned. When did you decide to like scale your team? Because that's always a scary point for our entrepreneurs. When do they okay, I'm making enough, but is it enough to invest in the business? Like, when was that for you?
For me, that was when my husband was going on deployment, and we were doing about 300,000 a year. And he was, you know, he comes home and he like moonlights for me with the e-commerce business. And basically, he wasn't going to be there for 6 months, so I did get an assistant who came in. And you know, I always run things really lean. I really believe in like, you know, low overhead, low fixed costs. And that was great because she was a military spouse, came about 10 hours a week, got me really comfortable with the idea of handing things off, and then fully outsourced our entire e-commerce business to where I did less than an hour a week. And so, and then that's when I, you know, really started building up this coaching business. And now we have almost 30 employees within 2 years on that side of the business. Yeah.
Wow. So in total you have 30 employees right now
It's about
running.
30.
So we'll say 30 to 35 employees running the whole business, and you get to be CEO, boss, mom.
Yeah, it's not glamorous though. It's really not. It's really not.
Which part, being the CEO or being the mom boss?
I mean both. Yeah. It's crazy. Because really the coaching business that I was doing with just my husband for the first 9 months, you know, we got to about, geez, like probably five million, doing it that way. And then hired on my first, you know, account manager, sales team person, built it up, hired an executive team just last fall. So it's only been 8 months. We hired, you know, 12 people for fulfillment and one-on-one coaching that we provide because I don't want to sacrifice the product by having a team. So doing it slowly was really essential. But now, you know, the idea, my goal is to become like the visionary CEO where I don't have to get in the weeds so much. And we're really working on making that happen. Yeah.
Get to the point where you get to choose when you get your hands dirty, and when you get to just let, no, someone else can play in the mud. That's my vision. Build it for me.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I was talking to my team this week, and I'm like, I don't want to be the one that finds all the problems in the business. I want you to find the problems and then tell me how you fixed it after the fact, you know. So that's you know, we're working towards that dynamic. But I mean, when you own a business, you can't get into the situation where if you're gone a week or if something happened to your family, like everything would fall apart. You have to make it run without you.
Yeah, very true. When did you learn that lesson? Because that's an interesting lesson that some entrepreneurs have a hard time learning, or it's a repeated learning opportunity for them? When did you get to a point where you're like, oh, this is important, I have to invest in my team?
Yeah. It was when I was so stressed that I was having chest pains. Like, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Cause I'm kind of like all or nothing type of girl, where, pedal to the metal, like how fast can the car drive? I will, you know, I'm a little bit extremist in that way. I want to win. And, you know, it's, have you heard of those like horses that like kill themselves cause they're like running too hard?
Yes.
Like that could be me. So, where it was affecting my health a little bit. And I got pneumonia actually. And then I realized like, this is not sustainable.
Yeah. So your body was like, hey, we should try a different path, because I can't keep this path up. And that's when you started taking it back. When did you start investing in mentorship? Because that's also a huge factor in entrepreneurship. Without, you know, mentors to get to like 8 figures, then to the 9, 10 figures, you know, eventually down the road. When was a mentor or coaching coming into your life?
You know, I didn't even really know about coaching until I looked into becoming a coach, having a course. And I was looking for programs to learn how to build the back end, like in Kajabi at the time. And I was looking, you know, I had no idea even what the course would be about, something e-commerce, but not really sure even if it would be Etsy. And I looked at different options. I had some of those sales discovery calls, and I landed on one. It was going to be $6,000. And I was so nervous. I mean, at the time I was making $40,000 a month with Etsy, but I still was like, what if it doesn't work out? Like, what if I invest in this mentorship and nothing comes out of it? But I thought, what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is I will never do it. Like, I will never make it happen on my own, or it will take so long. I'll make so many expensive mistakes. So made the decision. I mean, that 6,000 really turned into, you know, over 10 million, which
pretty good investment. I think that I'm not really good with ROI calculations, but from my basic math, 6,000 to 10 million, that's a good investment.
It was good. Yeah. And that was just in the first, I think we hit 10 in the first year and a half, or a little over a year. So it was really good. And then, you know, went on and, we actually got invited to meet with Alex Hormozi. It was a $20,000 thing, and his team. And I was really nervous about dropping 20 grand at one time. My husband was like, Dylan, let's do it. Cause at the time it was just us. We had already done, you know, about 5 million. So we did it, and that changed so much. We grew exponentially after that 2-day workshop, and, best investment. Yeah.
When did the podcast come into being?
It started with YouTube, and then my husband's, he's a podcast guy. Okay. I'm like, podcast, is that like an audiobook?
You're like, what is this podcast you speak of?
Yeah, I thought it was like some super nerdy thing. But then he's
technically,
like,
technically, yes. It started off as very, very nerdy. Yeah. But it's now more mainstream with some nerdiness.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, Dylan, like, we need to get the podcast going. I'm like, okay, if you want me to have a podcast, you can make it. And just like, let me know. Yeah. So all we have done really up until 2 months ago is just ripping our YouTube video audio, putting it up. And that's the results we've gotten are just that.
Oh, repurposing. Yeah. I love that idea of repurposing content.
So yeah.
And it's funneling into your business, your YouTube channels as well. You said that's up to 3 months ago. So you started the podcast 3 months ago?
It was about 2 months after the YouTube channel. So it'll be about 2 years this coming winter, this fall winter.
Mm-hmm. And do you have plans to evolve it into something different, or is it just still going to be ripping the audio from the YouTube?
That sounds terrible, right? It sounds so.
No, it doesn't, because like technically I'm doing the exact same thing. We're live. It's going to YouTube.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use the audio for my podcast, because a podcast is just a radio show. That's all it is. And this is an interview. People get to hear it first here before it goes on online. That's all. And it brings people into a different way of monetizing podcasting.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we've done it that way up until the spring. And then we saw, I think some people don't like the audio effects sometimes that we use on YouTube. So we, let's see, about 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, I just hired a podcast agency to start getting some interviews booked. So we're going to be transitioning into an actual podcast.
An interview-based podcast, if you will.
Yeah, like exclusive content just for the podcast.
Oh, so. I love that. I love that. So your this podcast was just your husband's idea, and you're like, sure. And then you saw it pay off, and you're like, let's do something bigger.
Yeah. You know, once we started talking to people on calls where they're signing up for the program, you know, we usually say, where did you find us? And it was always YouTube. And then all of a sudden we keep hearing the podcast, and those are some of our best students. The ones who come from the podcast, they seem to really maybe be more entrepreneurial or have that mindset of entrepreneurship. I think they consume more content around that.
I love that. And it's true. These people who listen to podcasts, one, are generally in a higher bracket socially. So that includes intelligence and understanding and openness to new ideas. Yeah. I'm curious, have you noticed a defining age group coming into your Etsy course specifically, or do you have like it's across the board?
Yeah, so we have anyone from 14 years old up until people in their 80s doing this. So really the reason people come to us is because they want to be successful on Etsy, and they either don't want it to take years to figure out, or they've been trying it on their own and it's not working, they're getting discouraged, or they're just stuck. Or maybe they, you know, sometimes they're seven-figure shops and they saw a big decrease and they just want to turn it around. So I would say like age is not at all like a factor, which is interesting. And I didn't expect that. I thought it would be mostly like stay-at-home moms, but it's really not. Yeah.
With the growth of both your YouTube and your podcast, obviously you've built a community, because that's pretty much the core of being an entrepreneur, you know, building your brand, but also building a community. How have you found building a community? Like, how did you start thinking about, oh, this is important, I need a community for the support?
Yeah. So in terms of the community part, it honestly wasn't at the forefront of my mind. It was kind of like an effect of all the work we were doing that I wasn't even focused on. But it was kind of a byproduct of everything else we were doing. And it was crazy because we actually had a meetup for the first time with our students last month in Las Vegas. And we had people flying in, to this house. I'm an introvert. So I just about like cried. I actually did. Yeah. Basically cry. My husband will tell you that, but, it was overwhelming, and these people all flew in, and our executive team flew in, and they just talked about the value of the community. And because as an entrepreneur, like, you know, a lot of people are against you. They're like, why are you doing this? No, you should stick with your job. And that community aspect is so important. Do you find that as well?
100%. I actually have a group chat called Board of Directors with certain members of my my community and like support network, that when I'm facing a challenge, I go to them like they're my actual, like I'm talking to my CEO of, you know, someone who's been further along in my life is my CEO, someone who's done, you know, better marketing is my my CMO or something like that. You know, like each person has a core, and we all try and work together for it. And it was actually a previous guest that told me about that. So yeah, spoiler alert for people who are watching live right now. There's that board of directors in my life.
That's great. Now, do you pay them or is it like?
Well, it, no, we're all doing this for free because we're all helping. It's like a small, we met through podcasting. So it's really more for podcasting, but we're all around the same age and we're all doing different things. So we help out that way.
Yeah, that is something I need to do more of. And I think joining masterminds and things will help with that. Because, you know, like the neighbors, they have no idea what you're doing sometimes.
No, being an entrepreneur is, especially a digital entrepreneur, we face that, you know, loneliness because we are dealing with people who are across the world. Like I'm in Canada, you're on the West Coast. You know, there's like that huge gap distance. But yes, I can see you, but it's not the same thing as being in person. So yeah, being inside a community and having like-minded people that you can talk to is very, very important.
Yes. Yeah. And at this point, there's different challenges. What do they say? Bigger levels, bigger devils.
Yes.
Like, oh my goodness. Yeah.
What are some of the challenges, if you don't mind me asking, that you're facing that you would like to share with the audience? Because some of them may be just starting their journey and knowing a few of the monsters that may be hiding in the forest on their path would be helpful.
Yeah. So one thing I will say is as you become successful, like people, like you do have a target on your back and people don't like that. You know, it's kind of like when you're a market leader in e-commerce, right? When you are ranking at the top of search, that's who people look to whether they copy them, rip them off, you know, you just have to be aware of that. Like when you are successful, this happens with my students too, when they become a successful shop, okay, now it's a target on your back and, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And it's a lot. You have to be a steward of the responsibilities and the things on your plate. And it's overwhelming. I didn't intend to become like a figure or anything like online. I just thought I was going to start helping people. And, you know, it's interesting what happens and you kind of have to find people who've been through that to help you navigate that. Cause there's crazy people in the world, you know, like people on, like, I don't look at YouTube comments anymore. You know, I just can't, it's crazy. Cause I'm a sensitive person and, you know, reading someone say like, I look like a horse, like that's actually really offensive to me. So I don't look at it anymore. And my team keeps me out of it, which is good. Yeah,
that is, I don't understand the people. Like, I can understand having a problem with my opinion or the theory that I'm bringing or the idea I'm bringing, but going after someone's personal appearance is useless. Yeah. It adds nothing to the world except for ugliness. And there's enough of ugliness in the world already.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really thankful for my students though, because they're, you know, they're like my cheerleaders out online and they're always sending me their results and cheering me on. So I do see like their comments. People will let me know when they comment and but yeah, you do have to be just aware of what success is going to bring. And that's part of the package. I don't think you can be successful without having some of that you know, hate or criticism, even as an e-commerce brand, your competition, they're not going to like it. So get ready. Yeah.
No competition. And have you noticed in the, I don't know how deep into the podcasting world you are. Do you see a difference in that world versus the e-commerce world?
Yeah. So, you know, in the podcasting world, I've actually met a lot of great experts who really are people to collaborate with our program. So like every week for the next 5 weeks, we're bringing in experts and I found them through their podcasts about Pinterest or Amazon FBA or Facebook ads. And, you know, we're bringing them in to speak and we're promoting their courses. And it's actually, I really like that part of it, you know, the kind of partnership world. Yeah.
Yeah, I've being in the podcasting world over a decade, I've noticed that it's more collaboration than competition because everybody's just trying to figure out how to win this game. And they're like, hey, how did you do this? But also we understand the audience building techniques of being on other podcasts. Or partnering with people who have an audience to help us grow, because it's a win-win, because everybody wins, because someone in your group could come over into someone else's and listen to their podcast and get ideas and bring it back into your community and help your community become even bigger.
Exactly. Exactly. And the more you get into it, I don't know, the smaller it feels, where it's, I don't actually feel like it's oversaturated. Do you?
No. Being in the, like I said, in the industry for so long, I have some deeper insights. Out of the 4 million active podcasts on like Apple, only about maybe 200,000 are actively active releasing episodes every month. So it's a very unsaturated market. YouTube is technically oversaturated compared to podcasts. We're still in the early days of radio, if you will. That's some of the things I've learned from talking to other experts in the podcasting industry as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And consistency wins. And I love that because I can be really consistent, you know, and like that's when you can have consistency as a competitive advantage, like that just means showing up and endurance. Mm-hmm. And but I think it's really hard for people to stay consistent with things like podcasts or blogs or YouTube channels. It's great for people like us who are, though.
Yes. One of the biggest advantages I have, I batch record. I do usually about 4 to 5 episodes a week. And I release 3 a week for this show. So as long as I get 3 a week, I'm always ahead of the game, and I'm booked until the end of September, actually, currently with podcast guests.
That's great. That's great. And knowing that you're stacked, like other people are trying to figure out, oh, I should get a podcast up this week. Oh, I should record something to get up this week. Or the same thing with e-commerce, you know, people can do something for a month. Anyone can do something for a month, but yeah. who can get through that dip when most people quit? Have you read the book, The Dip?
No, I have not. I actually have a credit on Audible. So I'm going to get The Dip because that sounds interesting. Tell me about The Dip.
Yeah, this is where it's great. We actually were recommended to read this when I worked for Zappos. Our CEO at the time, he passed away, Tony Hsieh. He recommended this. And it's really where, you know, big companies, every company goes through a dip where it's that point where, you know, you're kind of puttering along and then things start to not go as well. Problems come up, constraints come up, and a lot of people quit at that point. That's when most people give up and they go on to something new instead of pushing through. And the people who actually push through the dip when everyone else is giving up, like they go on and they see like a huge increase, and they show this graph of kind of what happens. And I see this with e-commerce. I see this with, you know, digital entrepreneurs. You know, there's a point where most people give up, and then it's really about pushing past that point. And when you feel like giving up, that's what, like whenever I feel like giving up, I tell myself everyone else would give up right now. I'm not going to, and that's why I will win. You know,
I love that. That's a great saying to have.
Yeah. It just gives you reassurance that you're on the brink of something really good, you know?
I like that.
Yeah.
It's like the night, just do it, because everybody else, just finish it. Even if you burn out, if the business goes up, it goes up, but at least you attempted, you push past when most people would give up.
Yeah. And the worst thing is doing something halfway, because it's not really giving it a fair try.
So no, you're always going to wonder.
Yeah. You're just wasted half your effort. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious, with what you're doing, with the success you have had, how do you invest in yourself? Like, what are you doing? Do you have a morning routine? Do you have a nightly routine? Do you have a daily routine? Do you just sit and read books all day or listen to podcasts? What did you do, and what do you continue to do to invest in yourself?
Yeah. So I am really only focused on things that will have an ROI. So I don't spend my time on anything that's not gonna, give a return in some way. So whether that be investing in my team, you know, meeting with someone who I, you know, I'm overdue for a touch base with, or focusing on improving the product, finding even one little hole in the product, fixing that, or the fulfillment and fixing that. And no morning routine. I mean, morning routine is, you know, change the diapers, get them out the door.
Survive, get the kids alive and out the door. Once that's done, then I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. It is survival for that hour, like 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., you know, just make it happen and then buckle down. And people, I feel like, get hung up on these, like, I'm going to get into my ice bath and then I'm going to like meditate or cold plunge. I can't. Wait, am I offending you? Do you do that?
No, not at all. I barely have a morning routine as well. I want to have something that's more sustainable, but I'm more concentrated on, like, the business is more important than me getting my body into like Uber Joe Rogan level of and Alex Huberman style routines.
Yeah.
I have a night routine where I journal. That's the one that helps me the most, because it gets everything out of the brain that's just puttering around.
Yeah.
I hear morning routine, morning journaling is good, but I just can't sit down early in the morning and just write. So yeah. I do it at night and it just calms me to sleep. It's better than chamomile tea, I find.
Yeah.
Which I also drink while journaling to help me go to sleep.
Yeah, well, that's productive though, because it's helping you accomplish sleep, which is essential.
Yes.
So I can see that. Yeah, with what we do, you know, one thing I do recommend though is like paying attention to your energy levels and when you are most creative, and trying to force creativity at a point in the day when it's just like pulling teeth. Mm-hmm. So whether it be like, okay, an hour after I have like my morning caffeine, I can really think up something really, really smart, and I can make something really big happen. I won't, for example, I do coaching calls once a week. I'm not going to try to do that at 10 o'clock at night. I did that once. I was just too burned out. So tasking, you know, appropriately when your energy is in the right place is helpful.
I love that. That's great. I want to snap our fingers. We're 10 years in the future. Mm-hmm. Where is Dylan? What is Dylan and the family doing? What is Dylan the entrepreneur doing? What is Dylan the CEO doing?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. So this is a lot. And I think this next 10 years is something that I've been fearful of a little bit. And I knew like this next 10 years is always going to be coming, but we're at a point where, you know, I'm 33. My parents are in their mid-70s and like they're aging. Like we almost actually lost my dad in February. He was like resuscitated. It was a very scary situation. And right now we're looking at moving back there to be there for them. And my sister, she has a disability. So eventually I'll be her guardian. She's cognitively like a 9-year-old. She lives in a group home. So I knew at some point in life, like, I would have to go back there and like take on some responsibility. And now I'm so glad I have my husband to like shoulder that with me. But you know, we're looking at the next 10 years focused on enjoying those final years with parents and building these businesses, enjoying, you know, my kids are 6 and 2, like
great years. Great. You still got the baby, but you also got this little independent drunk person walking around. Yeah. I no offense, I'm pretty sure your child is not drunk, but they act like a drunk. Having been a busboy for some years, I know how drunk people, and they are like that. There's no filter.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, you know, enjoying those years, they're both little boys, enjoying the sports and things and building, you know, great businesses that will give us unlimited options. That's the focus. So people say you can't have it all. I think the next 10 years is about having it all.
I love that. We're coming to the end, which I'm disappointed because I'm having such a great time talking with you, Dylan. Your energy is off the hook for an introvert, I must say. So I don't know if you're masking and just saying, okay, I'm putting everything into this and then I'm going to lie down for the next.
No, I timed this.
Ah, yeah. Smart caffeine intake. Very, very, very smart. I would love to know. I have your 10-year-old self right beside me. She's amazing. She's awesome. What's a piece of advice you would love to give back to your 10-year-old self?
Yeah. I would, yeah, when I was 10, that was right before like a lot of tragic things happened in my family. And I would tell myself that you can build the exact life that you want. You really can, no matter what situations and circumstances come in and what things happen in your life. Like, it's your choice to power through and to create something that's exactly what you want your life to look like. Because when you're 10, it's like you're just receiving, like everything's happening in your life and you're just kind of, it's a little bit helpless. It's like, you know, you don't have control over things, but you know, learning, you know, telling myself when I'm 10, like identify what's a controllable and focus on that and just ride the wave of everything else.
Yeah. Control the controllable. I love that. Dylan, I'm going to jump off stage here and process that great advice. I want you to let my audience know where they can connect with you, how they can become possibly a coaching client or take your course and, you know, start planning their generational wealth that you're already on the way and proving it's possible. So the floor is yours. Cool.
Awesome. Yeah. If any of you guys want to connect, Instagram is a great place to do that. It's at Dylan Jarus, J-A-H-R-A-U-S is the last name. And I love to connect with you there. I also put up a lot of tips and guidance for entrepreneurship. We can chat more about your shop if you have an Etsy shop or if you're wanting to start a business and just wanting to get the ball rolling. You know, what we do, it's really for people who are looking to create a long-term business that's going to change their life and give them options. And that's our expertise. So if you're at a point where you are even exploring if Etsy is something you should do or e-commerce, if that's something you want to, you know, get into your life, and maybe replace your income with, you know, it's a good time to have a conversation just so you can at least see what it's about. So definitely check us out on Instagram or my YouTube channel, Dylan Jarus on YouTube. We put out videos twice a week. I just put out a killer one today. People are loving it. So yeah, I hope to connect with you there. And really that's a good place to start. And then if you are interested in one-on-one coaching, we do provide unlimited one-on-one guidance for any of our Etsy e-commerce students.
Dylan, thank you so much for being on the show. It was amazing to chat with you and learn about your amazing journey in the Etsy world and in the business world.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was really a fun way to start a Thursday. Thank you.
I love it. Great. Great to hear. To my audience, of course, as you know, check out the show notes down below to connect with Dylan, both her YouTube channel and of course her Instagram will be there. I'm going to go watch the video. I do have some time before my next interview. I'm going to go watch this killer video Dylan just dropped. Thank you again, Dylan, for being here. To my audience, thank you for listening. And as always, you need to remember to invest in yourself.